Well, okay, let's jump into the message. Today I want to talk to you about dealing with tormenting thoughts. Most of us in the room, perhaps at one time or another, we've had to deal with incessant, unrelenting, bombarding thoughts that come. And on their arrival, we realize, you know, this doesn't seem right, but they just keep coming. It is a strategy of the enemy, by the way, to come against the truth in your life, against the Word in your life, against your life in general. I remember as a teenager going to Six Flags over Georgia for the first time in the early 70s, because I think it was 1971, they opened up the Great American Scream Machine roller coaster. Any of you ever taken a ride on that? Yeah, there's some of us brave souls in the room who did that. 2 minutes of terror. You know, it's amazing how people will pay money to be scared to death. But for 2 minutes, it was like unending fear. And then when it's over, you get out of that roller coaster and things are back to normal. And that's all right. But the enemy wants to drive a train through your mind and not stop it, bombarding you with these thoughts. In the book of Daniel, it's referred to as the wearing down of the saints, that mental harassing warfare against the mind to wear you down, to wear you out. Sometimes in our lives, we open doors that allow the enemy to attack us. We take on stuff we shouldn't be carried in our life, and the enemy will use that. He will extort you with that information, because so much of our life has to do with who's controlling our mind. As believers, we're to be led by the Holy Spirit. We have the mind of Christ, but we also are aware of this warfare from our carnal nature that we just have to conclude the fact that your flesh is God's enemy. Our flesh, you can't cast out your flesh. You have to crucify flesh. But given an opportunity, the desires of the flesh will arise. In Galatians chapter 5, we're shown the fruit of the Spirit, what manifests in our life when we're hearing the Holy Spirit, obeying the Word of God, being led by the Holy Spirit, love, joy, peace, and so forth. Prior to that, in Galatians 5, Paul lists the works of the flesh. And those are the things that manifest when we allow our flesh to be energized by sin. By entertaining sin, committing sin, participating in sin, our flesh is energized. It feeds and is made stronger on sin. And we can come to a place where we are literally tormented by thoughts. Now, I want to share a scripture out of 1 John chapter 4. There's a number of Greek words that are employed in the New Testament that can be translated torment. It can mean to be harassed. It can mean to be persecuted. It can mean to be tormented. And so forth. It's an idea of even being put to the test, like rubbing. They had a stone that they could that called a black stone they could rub silver on and tell if it was pure silver. And it's a word that's often translated to torment, to rub against, to harass, to reveal, to expose. And in 1 John chapter 4, John writes and says, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him. Have you confessed Jesus? God abides in you, is what it says. And he in God, that's the divine life, that's the Christ life, that's the branch and the vine life. He says in verse 16, and we have known and believed the love that God has for us. I want you to read that part of that verse with me now. Let's make that a confession. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. We're going to come back to that toward the end of this message, because, and I will present to you right up front, that you not only need to know that God loves you, you need to believe it. Not only do you need to know it, does it need to be information in your mind, you need to believe it. There needs to be faith in your heart. So important. For if you're going to live an untormented life. This is one of the keys that we find in Scripture. Now let's read on. He says that we have known and believed the love that God has for us. For God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. Now that's simple. God is love. If you're abiding in God, you're abiding in love. If God's abiding in you, then love's abiding in you. So when we were reconciled to God, we were given access to God's love. Paul says it this way in Romans 5, that God has shed his love abroad in your heart through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came into your life when you were saved and regenerated, and he brought God's love with him, and it was shed abroad in your heart. And so our problem is never the availability of God's love. Our problem is never accessibility to God's love. Our problem is the warfare that arises to cause us to doubt God's love and fail to access God's love. So all of a sudden you see the importance of the revelation of God's love concerning your thought life. Also, it's the antidote for fear. Let's read on. He says in verse 17, love has been perfected among us. And this, that word perfected, by the way, is from a compound Greek word that means to see through to the end, teleo. And it's like an old pirate telescope that you would pull out so that things that are way out there, you could bring them up close. That's the idea of this word. It's a mature love. It's the agape love. Agape is the Greek word for love. But it's a perfect, it's mature, it's a grown-up kind of love. And the idea here is this is a love that through knowing and believing, through knowing it, believing it, accessing it, confronting life within it, experiencing it intimately in your life, over time, you get to the point where I know God loves me and I'm not going to embrace those lies. I'm going to overcome regardless of what's going on because I am loved. When you can settle the question of God's love for you, you have just taken major ground that the enemy wants to use against you. It is such a place of warfare. And so notice what he says. It's a perfected in us in this that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. Now that's mind-boggling. We preach who Jesus is, but as he is, so are you in this world. Jesus never doubted the Father's love. Jesus was able to flow in the Father's power, completely obedient to the Holy Spirit, as he is, so are we in this world. We have access to the same means that Jesus did to live the same life he lived. And this idea of boldness in the day of judgment. In other words, even seeing through to the end of this life and the judgment that's coming, you can know when I stand there, I'm accepted in the Beloved. I'm going to be welcomed in. But see, our fleshly nature can't comprehend that. When Adam and Eve sinned, the first thing they did is they tried to cover up and run and hide. They experienced guilt. They experienced shame. God's out to get us. We've got to hide from him. That's the posture of the flesh, enmity against God. God's out to get me. I'm going to be punished. I'm guilty, so forth. But what happens, God came into the garden and began to pronounce to them the effects of their curse because of the decisions that they made and the desires that they would now have, but also to prophesy the future of one who would come who would trample the serpent and redeem them and reconcile them. All that's in there. And it's very, very important for us to understand this. Now, to have boldness, to have confidence in the day of judgment, to know who we are in Christ, to know that Christ is in us. John's going at this from several directions. If you know God, then he abides in you and he's love, so you should be a lover. and so forth. Then we get to verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves torment. And there's where we get the message for today. Fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. In other words, if you're still living under the dominion of fear, you feel like fear's got its boot on your neck and you can't get past that. You really can't do what God wants you to do. You have trouble moving forward because you're so afraid, whatever. There's all kinds of phobias, okay? Then John is basically saying you need a revelation where that you can know that you know God loves you. And you believe it with everything in you, you'll be all right then. We love him because he first loved us. And that's the part of the verse that takes us straight to the cross. God has forever settled the question of his love for us through the cross. Heaven's best given for earth's worst. The cross, the meeting grounds of God and man, where sinful man can become as sinless as God's own son and receive righteousness there. What a revelation, what a truth. But yet, as he is now, so are we. Because of what he's done, look who now we have become. And this is the sphere of truth from which we must live our lives. Now let me introduce you to you this thought. The launching pad of sin in our life becomes the landing pad for Satan in our life. When we commit sin, our flesh is energized. We open doors for the enemy to begin to exploit us. And how much exploitation takes place is by degree to the rebellion, the disobedience, the amount of control that we're yielding to the enemy. Paul references this in Ephesians chapter 5 when he says, don't let the sun go down on your wrath, neither give place to the devil. In other words, if we have an out-of-control anger and we don't deal with it, we open the door for the devil to take ground in our lives. So any quick-tempered ones among us, if you got a quick temper, you need to be a quick forgiver, a seeker of forgiveness, a quick repenter, right? Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. We yield ground to him. It's a military term. It's yielding ground to the enemy for him to set up base and work. And in our mind, then he begins to build strongholds in the way we think. So let's step into this a little bit further because we're told here that fear can be excised from our life through perfect love. We're told here we do not have to live being tormented. And by tormented, these tormented thoughts are those that just come. And it comes in different ways. Here's how this can happen. The desires we pursue. God created man and woman with godly desires. The enemy always wants to pervert God-given gifts and desires and exploit and prostitute them for his aims, his ends. So our desires, and again in Galatians 5, we see when the Holy Spirit's leading and we're following his desires, what manifests in our life. But when we yield to our flesh and commit sin, then that energizes us toward the enemy's agenda and the enemy's plans for our life. The Bible tells us, Paul writes and says, make no provision for the flesh. That word provision is a compound word that means to see before. You see, because, and you've heard me teach on this numbers of times, but we keep coming back to this because it's so powerful for us to know. Part of you that's made in the image of God is your imagination. You have creativity. I like to use the word imagination. It's one of the manifestations of God's image in you. But it can manifest in wrong ways. You can use your imagination to plot evil. Even in the book of Psalms, you see that a lot about those who plot evil. They're using their God-given creativity, ingenuity, innovativeness and imagination to do evil. That's in the world. You see people using the internet and using their imagination toward evil. Others are using their imagination in it toward good. That's just the way it is. And so our desires, our imagination, when it's fueled for the enemy, then we can get into fantasy. We'll begin to entertain and embrace lies that are not found, that are inconsistent and incongruent with God's word or God's plan for our lives. So it's important that we understand this, not to make provision for our flesh. Again, the word provision means to see before. That's your imagination. A lot of the spiritual gifts use our God-given imagination to manifest themselves. They really can. You can use it on a human level and just imagine. Imagine an 8-foot tall rat with a pink hat, and it's got purple boxing gloves on. Do you see it? Because you have an imagination. And I just guided you to see that. I mean, that's a wonderful part. Walt Disney, he's still blessing people by the way he used his imagination. But the enemy wants to come in and get a hold of that and get you to project a future that God hasn't planned for you. When your flesh gets involved, it's going to be selfish. It's going to be self-centered. It's going to be self-seeking. It's going to be prideful. It wants to satisfy the cravings of the flesh. And that's true of every human being. So we have to crucify the flesh. You can't cast it out. Oh boy, what an awesome anointing that would be to be able to cast somebody's flesh out. But no, that has to be crucified. So our desires, it's important that we make sure our desires are coming from that holy, healthy place, from the Holy Spirit and God's Word. The second thing about how this can happen is the decisions we make. We make choices, and then our choices make us. This is how addiction and bondage starts gaining traction in people's life. You make one wrong choice, and you suffer some consequence, and you can turn back. But then if you do it again and do it again, eventually that you're held hostage by the choice you've made. And an addiction's formed, and you can become bound by the very choices you've made. It is a strategy employed by the enemy to offer you what your flesh wants and to deceive you to think that you won't have to pay for it, that there won't be any consequence. The Bible says forbidden waters are sweet. That's a reference to the urges of our fallen nature to desire the forbidden. I can put the sign on the door as you leave. It says wet paint. And if everybody's going to kind of look around, and several people are going to go, that's just that part of us. I'm one of them. You're one of them, right? So this has to do with the decisions that we embrace. I remember a number of years ago, I ministered to a lady who had gotten involved in witchcraft. She was being mentored by someone outside the church that claimed to be Christian and started spending a lot of time with this other lady and then bringing it into the church. And she would write out these prophetic words and give them to people, and you'd read them, and it's like, that's not God. That's not God. That's not God. And so came an occasion where I had to address that, and she ended up getting angry and leaving the church, and everything began to fly apart in her life as a result of that. The enemy wants to lead us astray and get us to make decisions that are contrary to God's will. Our decision is our will. Our decision-making part of us is our will, our volition. And so we need to make our decisions, our will needs to be expressed in alignment with God's will. And so the warfare is to get us out of alignment with God's will. Just a little here, 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 and the next thing you know, instead of being off this much, these decisions have you way over here. And this is the means by which the enemy will try to ruin our marriages, separate us from our children. So teaching, to go back to the series we've just concluded about teaching our children, to teach them the consequence of our decisions, the consequences of our actions. Another thing that begins to happen is the deceptions we embrace. It's like the lady, the story I just told, she argued that no, there was no witchcraft involved. She couldn't see it. But that's the deception. To think you're doing something for God and actually being used by the enemy. And that's dangerous. Because there's a lot of nice, good people. I mean, the cults are full of people like this. And, I mean, we've all heard, I've ministered to people that are, for instance, in Mormonism and other things, other belief systems that are outside what I believe the boundaries of New Testament Christianity. But they don't see it that way at all. But it comes down to knowing what the Scripture says about who Jesus is. As He is, so are we in the world. You know, like some cults would teach Jesus and the devil were brothers. Oh, no, my Lord's not the brother of the devil. You know, my Lord was here long before the devil was ever created. The devil's a created being. My Lord is the eternal, everlasting God. But see, these things, people will swallow that down around the curb from the introduction of deception. So, and it can cause people to become tormented. The demonic we encounter. There was a young man in Mississippi that I ministered to. And he shared, he was probably in his mid-20s. And he shared with me how his lifestyle of addiction and brokenness and misery and ruin came about in his mid-20s. He said he was running with the wrong crowd. I forget if it was a Friday night or Saturday night. And he remembers the occasion. They had been partying. And he snorted his first line of coke. Cocaine. He said, I remember the moment. He said, I never experienced anything like that. He said, my life from that moment forward was trying to find that experience again. The second time, the third time, the fourth time, the 30th time, the 40th time, the 300th time, the 400th time. Never could find that first high. And he said, everything that I thought near and dear to me before that moment when I snorted that first line, everything I counted near and dear to me, he said, I left it behind. My family, money didn't mean anything. Sex didn't mean anything. All my hobbies didn't mean anything. Cocaine became his God. Where he was sacrificing everything else he thought important in his life, chasing that. That's the devil. That's the nature of the devil, the thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He works the same way through pornography. He works the same way through greed. He works the same way through bitterness and so forth. Add to the list. That's just who he is. You see, the Word of God says about you, believer in Jesus, as Jesus is, so are you in this world. But the devil doesn't like that. He wants it to be concerned to himself as the devil. I want you to be as I am in the world. I want you to be selfish, arrogant, prideful, deceitful, malicious, angry, vile, and so forth. The Word calls us to follow the Holy Spirit and manifest love and joy and peace and gentleness and kindness and meekness and self-control and so forth. No, the enemy, he wants you to manifest the works of the flesh, adultery, fornication, homosexuality, and right on down the list. It's spelled out in the Scripture. There's a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. The demonic we encounter, and what can happen is in these choices, allowing these desires to to lead us to make decisions, become deceived, and then encounter the demonic, we can actually become demonized. People can become demonized. Demons can live in pigs, but they much prefer people. Now, we're living in a world where a lot of people, I don't believe in demons. Well, half of their work is done, if you believe that. You can become demonized, and it open up the gateway, and the enemy does not want to bless you. He wants to torture you. He wants to torment you. The Holy Spirit is not an interrogator. The devil is. The Holy Spirit is not an accuser. The devil is. So it's important that we understand this. And this young man was demonized, and thank God, even in those days, as a Baptist pastor, when I met with that young man, to be able to lead him through prayer and break that off of him and see him serve the Lord. That's the power of the cross. It's the power of the cross. Now, let's talk about some indicators of the demonic, since we worked our way to from these desires and decisions and deception and demonic encounters. So now the enemy is, or how do you begin to sense that? There'll usually be intimidation, a lot of fear, being bullied, manipulation, being tricked, being controlled, humiliation, shamed, made to feel worthless, never measure up, insinuation, feeling accused, feeling condemned. As you've heard me teach, you know, the Holy Spirit's the butcher that drives you to slaughter. I mean, the devil's the butcher that drives you to slaughter. The Holy Spirit is like the shepherd who leads you to green pastures, to place of peace. When the Holy Spirit's dealing with you, you're gonna take steps. You're wanting to go to God. You're wanting to find that peace. When it's the devil bombarding you and telling you how worthless and shameful you are, you feel ashamed to come to church. You feel ashamed to be around Christian people. You feel guilty when you're in all of that. You see, when the Holy Spirit's convicting, His aim is to get you and Jesus real close together so you can be blessed, so you can know God's love, so you can know who you were really created to be. But when the enemy's working, it's to create distance between you and God. It's to get you to think some fig leaves will work. You don't need the blood. It's to get you to think that his deception is really truth, and look at truth and think it's deception. He wants you to look at evil and call it good, and look at good and call it evil. That's the work of the enemy. He intimidates. He manipulates. He humiliates. He insinuates. He's the accuser of the brethren that has been cast down. And he will one day answer to the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And until that day, you have authority over him in the name of Jesus, because as he is, so are you in this world. But it is hard for us to rise up and live out of that place of truth if we don't understand that God really does love us. He really does. Some people struggle. These things are operative, become operative in their life, these things, over some past sin. I'm sure Pastor Doc and Brother James and Randy and Pastor Larry and others in the room that have been in ministry through the years, you've had the same thing happen, as well as some of you, where you're praying with people and their struggle is being able to accept the fact that God really has forgiven them of what they've done. Have you repented? Oh, yes. Do you believe the Word? Oh, yes. Well, the Word says if you confess your sin, He is faithful and just to forgive your sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. But I just don't feel like that's happened. Again, you've got to know and believe. It's not about how you feel. It's about what God's Word says. But so many people continue to struggle and carry the shame and the guilt of a past sin, a past failure, that thing that you wish that you had never done, but you're not given a mulligan. It's rude. You had to face it. Yes, I did that. I've got to deal with that. But to get to the point where you can say, I am now cleansed from that. I am free from that. See, the devil don't mind you praying as long as you're not believing you're going to receive what you're praying for. He doesn't mind you talking about the power of Jesus' blood as long as you don't believe there's power in Jesus' blood. Your faith is what activates the life of the seed of God's Word in your heart. So, I would just encourage you, if you're struggling over any past failures, don't exalt your sin over your Savior. Did God accept the sacrifice of Christ for the sins of the whole world? Yes or no? How do we know? What happened on the third day? And by that we're justified. So God's already said amen and hallelujah to the work of Jesus on the cross by raising Him from the dead. And if the Bible says when He bore our sins in His body on the tree and by His stripes we are healed, is that true or is it not? So are you forgiven? The enemy wants us to involve ourselves in warfare that's already been won. He wants us to recycle all of that. Live in recycle mode. Why? Because if we spin out and get on the right track and start taking kingdom territory, we're a threat to Him. But if He can just keep us in that rinse and repeat, recycle mode, can't think about anybody else because I can't get stable or sure got getting certainty for myself. Believe the Word. So past failures can hold us back. Past traumas, those wounds. And most of us will have some of those in our life, that place of hurt. But don't allow that thing that happened to you to steal the destiny God has for you. That does not define who you are. What happened to you, as horrific as it may have been, as painful as it may have been, as painful as it still may be emotionally, realize that as He is, so are you in the world. You're cleansed. You're free. You're forgiven. You're healed. When our bodies send a message to us, there's pain, it's our body's way of saying something's not right. Something's wrong. Same way emotionally and psychologically, when we're having pain in that area, it's a signal sent to us that something's not right. And I believe the power of God's Word and His Holy Spirit is what we need in all dimensions of who we are, in body, soul, and spirit. Spirit, soul, and body. And there's healing from our past traumas. As Pastor Gary shared his word, and that's often the case with people struggling with PTSD, living in that moment. You may have a normal day. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, maybe 3 months in a row. Then out of nowhere, it comes and you're frozen. Not where you are, well, that's where your body is, but your mind is in an experience you had 21 years ago. Just as if you were there, right there in the moment. Let me tell you something. When that happens, The enemy is trying to use the power of something I believe happens in when we have communion. Except he's perverting and polluting it. Because when we take communion, we're in the here and now in this moment. But by faith, when we eat the bread and drink from the cup, we are going back to a moment 2,000 years ago. Just as if we were there in that moment and receiving directly from Christ Himself. There is something that happens in that moment. And there's something about this PTSD and these being taken back to the time of trauma and reliving it. To me, it's maybe the enemy trying to mock the reality of the power that's in communion. Does that make sense to anybody else in here? Because that's just coming to me while I'm up here teaching this. But I bear witness with it. That in that moment. So, This is the work of the enemy to torment us, to freeze us in our place of pain, to stunt our growth, to keep us from progressing, from growing, from advancing, to keep us in that place of pain. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. So, the same way with, and I remember I was praying for a man some time ago, and the first time I'd ever met him, and I started having a vision, and I saw an older man on a tractor going down the road. I described the road. He got to a curve, and he went off in the ditch, and it turned over, and the man just he just broke, and he started crying, and I remember his eyes getting big. He said, "That's exactly what happened to my grandfather," and we stepped into that moment, that place of trauma for him. And if something beautiful came out of that, some healing came out of that, God reached back to a moment that had been a crisis in his life and poured healing oil into it so the devil couldn't use it against him any longer. He does stuff like that. That's who he is. That's what he does. Sometimes in the area of sickness and disease, we can get in alignment with the enemy and receive his thoughts, and they torment us. Well, my mama died at 37, and I'm going to die at 37. Well, my dad had this, and my granddad had this, and my great-granddad had this, so I'm going to die from that. And we latch hold to these things, these things that cause alarm, and the enemy wants to use that. He wants to steal the prophetic and use it for his ends, because the prophetic works in the negative and in the positive, calling things that be not as though they are. It works in the negative too. The enemy can get you to broadcast his agenda and believe his plan for you, and then to begin to speak it out your mouth, and you hanging on to it with your heart. The next thing you know, same thing's going to happen to you that happened to mama. It can be a familiar spirit, a generational thing, and one of the keys is the tormentuous nature of these thoughts. It gives you a sense of foreboding and a sense of fear. Like, I'm doing everything I know to do, but it's like, I don't think I can keep this from happening. That's that obsessive, compulsive, that incessant, that bombarding type of thing. That's the enemy knocking on your door. Don't play on the devil's playground. Don't eat at the devil's table. Don't hang out with the devil's crowd. Don't sleep in the devil's bed. If you lay down with dogs, you're going to rise up with fleas. Don't make place for him. Don't make provision for him. Don't let him intimidate, manipulate, humiliate, and insinuate in your life in that way to hold you hostage. And some people experience rejection. Probably most people, there's probably for everybody in the room, there's been a time when in a relationship you've suffered some type of rejection. Some more than others, some a sense of an abandonment. Being left, being forsaken, you feel unloved, you feel worthless. Who are you? Nobody wanted you, so why should you even value yourself? That's all lies of the devil. Now, it may be true that you were abandoned in this natural realm, but your Lord says He will never leave you and He will never forsake you. He's made you accepted in the beloved, and the power of His truth can dismantle the lie of the enemy. Amen. It can bring healing to the wounded places where the enemy's used his lies to hurt you. It's important that you receive that deep in your heart. We're all going to go through times when we're rejected. Not everybody's going to like you for being a Christian. I remember ministering to a young woman one night, and I began to see her standing on the edge of a cliff, and it's like I knew that she came within a hair's breadth of jumping off there. She was thinking about ending her life, and I just started saying what I was seeing, and it took her back to that moment. She started sobbing, she started crying. And the Lord just had me look at her and say, "Daddy, God wants you to know He loves you." She crumbled, and God began to minister to that girl, took her back to her place of pain, her low point when things literally went over the cliff in her life, though she didn't literally jump, but she had been tempted to do that very thing I was seeing. And God healed her. And her whole countenance was changed in a moment. The redemptive power of Christ's blood. The regenerating, transforming work of God's Spirit. the truth of God's Word. We have access to all of that to live our lives so we don't have to be tormented, held hostage, allow the enemy to hijack God's plans for our lives. We all go through trials, assaults, and persecutions. Every child of God has to pass these tests. I remember Graham Cook years ago sharing about a man that he knew. His wife left him. His family abandoned him. His business went downhill. He came down with cancer. He had all these battles going on. And then at the end, he said, you know what happened to that man to start all that? He got baptized in the Holy Ghost. In other words, when he got right where God wanted him to be and received what God had for him, everything broke loose against him. But the end of the story was a story of restoration and advance and God using him around the world. If God be for you, who can be against you? Our worship team is coming. And as they come, I want you to look at this scripture again. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. Do you know it and believe it? Look at verse 18 again. Because God is calling us to be fearful lovers. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. So love is the antidote. Love is the answer. The love of God for you through His Son Jesus and His work on the cross. So if this message is speaking to your heart this morning about, and some of these, for some people there can be different degrees of how this affects you. You know, it may not be a big deal in your life, but there's an area where you've got certain thoughts that tend to just torment you, that you can't seem to rid yourself of. For others, you may be in a place where it's getting louder in your head. And you know, it's like the enemy's gaining ground and you you don't like it, but it's like you almost can't control it. Repentance and confession, first step. And sometimes, and Mickey shared this in the early service. You want to come share that? Okay. Is the power of confession. Just to confess your faults one to another. Sometimes it's so helpful to bring it out in the light with someone else and say, I'm struggling with this. Guys, if you're struggling with pornography, that's a great step to take. Find a brother you can trust and say, I want you to pray with me. I'm struggling with this. And it's not just men now either. You know, confess that. Or, Pastor, you know, alcohol seems to have a hook in me. Or I've got these pills that I just have to take sometimes and I take the edge off. Whatever kind of thing it may be. Find somebody you can trust and can get it out in the light. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Confess your faults one to another that you may be healed. Repentance and confession is the place we start. And then forgiveness. Very often these tormenting thoughts have fear as their source. Different kinds of fear. But unforgiveness or the fear that God doesn't love you. You won't forgive yourself. Maybe you've prayed and you've asked God to forgive you, but you haven't forgiven yourself. I remember struggling with that during a season in my life. And you know what the Lord finally showed me? I was raising my standard above His. He had forgiven me, but I was unwilling to forgive myself. So it became a thing of pride and arrogance. So you had to repent of that. Lord, forgive me for raising the standard higher than You did. To own it. To really know God loves you and He forgives you. Perseverance. Why is that important? Abraham obtained the promise through patient enduring. There's a warfare involved in this. Doing the right thing. Standing your ground. And to face what you're facing. The trial you're going through, the devil wants to use it to take you out. And God's going to use it to build you up. Don't allow the enemy to set up a ground of operation to begin to torment you with his lies. And the truth. The truth sets us free. Knowing the truth. Walking the truth. Living the truth. It renews our mind. It sets us free. And it makes liberators out of us. We're called to be fearless lovers. Having been captured and changed by the love of God. free to help those who are bound. For too long, people in the church have been held hostage by the lies of the enemy. And we failed to appropriate and appreciate the depth, the breadth, the height of the love of God. God's already settled that. He loves you. Don't get over it, but get on with it. He loves you. He loves you. He forgives. He changes. His gifts and callings are without repentance. Don't allow some lying devil to nail you down somewhere that God didn't lead you to. You get freed up today. Start serving Him. Would you stand with me? Our altar workers are coming. I'm going to lead you in a prayer across the room. And I'm going to believe there's going to be deliverance here today as we pray. If you feel like you need some deliverance over some lie you believed, there's some kind of barrier between you and really receiving the truth of how much God loves you. Maybe you're struggling with guilt and shame, and you know it holds you back, and it's just like, how could God use me? That's wrong thinking. That's stinking thinking. That's from the devil. God loves you, child of God. And if you've confessed your sin, enjoy the benefits of that. If you haven't, do it now. If you've never been saved, right now, ask Jesus Christ to save you from your sin. Confess Him as Lord. Believe in your heart God raised Him from the dead. Do that right now. These are here. They will pray with you if you need to make that decision. But across the room right now, let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I pray Your Holy Spirit would move upon this audience right now. And we pray every lie would be dispelled, every bondage would be broken, that this would be a moment, a liberating moment in our lives here today at Grace House. You just pray, dear Father, in the name of Jesus, I renounce this place of sin in my life where the enemy's been working against me. I renounce it. I turn from it. And I confess this sin to You, O Lord, cleanse me. And I believe in my heart that I am free and I am forgiven. I renounce the lies I believe. Just tell Him that. I receive healing for the wounded places. I believe in the power of Your blood, Lord Jesus. Now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray that you be liberated from tormenting thoughts. I plead the blood of Jesus over your life right now. Get in agreement with me. I plead the blood of Jesus over your life. May every thought contrary to the truth of God be taken captive now and put at the feet of Jesus right now. Be loosed from it. Be loosed right now. Be loosed in Jesus' name. Be loosed. Be loosed. Be made whole in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Just release that to Him. Release it to Him. Release what's held you back and embrace and receive what He's given you now. Father, I pray for a fresh baptism of Your love to move upon this audience right now from the crowns of our heads to the soles of our feet. Holy Spirit, we just ask You to invade this place. Come upon every person. Manifest in the life of every believer here this morning. Thank You, Lord. We decree and declare we are loved because Your Word says we are. You love us with an everlasting love. Greater is He who is in us than he who is in the world. And just say this out loud. I am loved by my Heavenly Father. He is loved. He is loved. I am in Him. He is in me. His perfect love casts all fear from my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now give Him a hand. Amen, 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 amen. This altar remains open. We invite you to come for ministry. Thank you for being here today. I pray that God blesses you. I encourage you to come back this Wednesday at 6:30. Bring a friend with you next week. The The plans He has for each of us, they're good. They are. Walk them out. Be a world changer. Go forth in the power of His Holy Spirit now, motivated by His love, surrounded by His angels, being a carrier of His gospel message, and change this world in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Go forth. This altar's open if you need prayer. Come.
Be lifted up. Be lifted high.